All right, school number 8, the Mosaic Law School, which covers 133 titles of law. That is, all 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments in the Bible, along with all the penalties. There are 24 crimes that are punishable by death, 24 capital felonies, 28 ways to punish somebody, 28 different punishments, 133 subjects of law. We cover all of those, and the importance to that is bound up in this concept or this little story. I was up in Marengo, Illinois here some years back, 1983. It's quite a while now, nearly 20 years. And a preacher sitting in the front row of my tax school said to me, "You're teaching all of these people to lose their salvation." I don't know what brand of preacher he was, but Jesus never had any use for preachers, bankers, or lawyers. And you can read that in Luke chapter 11. Luke 11, verses 37 through 54. He'll tell you what he thought about lawyers and preachers. I don't discriminate against preachers the way Jesus did, but I guess he had a good reason for it. Anyway, this preacher said, "You're teaching all these people to lose their salvation." I said, "Well, why do you say that?" And he said, "Well, because you're teaching this Old Testament law, which has been abolished." Now, that's pretty common fare. If you were to ask 100 Christians if the law of God is in full force and effect today, I think 100 of them would tell you no. Certainly the overwhelming majority, 99%, 98%. It's the common belief among Christian people. Well, I'm not a religious person. I don't delve into religion. I'm pretty astute, though, on the law. And so I look at the Bible as a law book. In fact, so did Harvard Law School. Until 1942, they started incoming freshmen on two books, Blackstone's Commentaries, number one, and the Book of Hebrews, number two. And indeed, all of our founding fathers were well-versed in the Bible, and George Washington said that without morality, you can't have a republican form of government. And indeed, we couldn't. And we now have degenerated into a communist proletariat. People who don't practice the law of God don't practice morality. Well, this preacher said to me that I was teaching these people to lose their salvation. Now, that's kind of religious. And I said, "Well, I don't think that's true. I believe that the entire law of God is in full force and effect today, right now, today." That was 1983. "I think it is right now, today." And then I said, "Well, let me test this. Let's see. Maybe you've got a point here." And behind me was a whiteboard, so I wrote on the whiteboard 759. And then I turned to him and I said, "You've heard it said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery." And he said, "Yeah." And I said, "Well, pilgrim, I want to take your wife home and sleep with her tonight. Can you tell me what's wrong with that?" Now, he mulled that one over for a few seconds in his mind. There were about 10 or 15 people who were on break and kind of standing around there, just jawboning a little bit. And these people were pretty interested in this preacher's response. And the preacher said, "Well, that wouldn't be showing love to your neighbor." So I said, "Well, neighbor, I don't love you. I hate you. But I love your wife. And she's the one that I want to sleep with. Can you tell me what's wrong with that?" Well, he mulled that one over a little bit, and he said, "Well, that law hasn't been abolished." So I turned back to my whiteboard, and I put a 1 under that 759 with a minus sign, and I wrote the sum. It was 758, and I said, "Now, you've heard it said by them of old time, thou shalt not steal." And he said, "Yep." Now, I had a tape recorder there. He was recording this. and it was plugged in, and the tape was going round and round. He was sitting there in the front row with his wife, and I reached down, and I took the cord, and I yanked on it and jerked it right out of the wall, picked up his tape recorder, looked him right in the eyeballs, and said, "Mine." And I turned on my heel, and I took a few steps, and he was so shocked at that aberrant behavior that he said, "That's my tape recorder." I whirled around and I said, "No, it isn't. It's mine. I just took it. And we're practicing from each according to his ability and to each according to his need. The law that says thou shalt not steal has been abolished, repealed, rescinded, and nailed to the cross with Jesus. Remember, Pilgrim?" He mulled that one over a little bit, and he said, "Well, that law hasn't been abolished either." So I turned around, and I put a 1 under the 758. Drew a line, and the sum was 757. And I said, "You know, there's 757 more laws that are just like that. And every one of those laws is in full force and effect today, and every one of those laws has a reason." And he looked at me, and he said, Well, what about the ceremonial laws?" And I said, "What about them?" Because if the ceremonial laws, or if any law, was repealed, abolished, nailed to the cross with Jesus, then it goes against what Jesus said in Matthew 5, verses 17. You know, Matthew 5, 17. You ever look at that? He said, "Think not that I've come to destroy the law of the prophets. I didn't come to destroy, but to fulfill. For truly I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." Now the preachers come along and say, "See, he fulfilled the law. He did it all. And now that he's done it all, you don't have to do it anymore." Verse 19, he says, "Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, not something major, like thou shalt not commit adultery, which carries a capital penalty, death, but maybe something, you know, like you shall not let your cattle gender with a diverse kind, or you shall not sow your seed with mingled, or your field with mingled seed, or you shall not allow or let a garment of mixed linen wool come upon you." I mean, those are the kind of laws that are kind of least commandments, wouldn't you say? And yet here's Jesus says, "Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments," in Leviticus 19:19, "and shall teach men so, shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." I just kind of had my mind on being called great, that's all. Instead of being called least, I'd like to be called great. So I teach even the least commandments. Now that preacher could see that thou shalt not commit adultery and thou shalt not steal were still kind of important. We still practice those laws in the United States to some degree. You know, if you get caught trying to nail somebody's wife, you're liable to get shot, aren't you? Yeah, that's a real risk and a real possibility. Now, let's test another little portion here of the law. Did you know that every Old Testament law is contained in the New Testament by a direct quotation, such as in Matthew 4, verse 4, which says, "Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." That was cited from Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. Or by an example, such as muzzling the ox in 1 Timothy 5:18, which is cited from the law of Moses, or by a reference such as the fringe statute, which you read in Matthew 9, verse 20. Matthew 9, 20, the fringe statute is cited from Deuteronomy 22, 12. 1 Timothy 5, 8, muzzling the ox, is cited from Deuteronomy 25, 4. Matthew 4, 4 is cited from Deuteronomy 8, 3. There are 759 of these statutes, judgments, and commandments, 133 titles of law. They're all repeated in the New Testament. I can identify all of them. I don't know why that preacher couldn't. I'm a crummy plumber. He's been to cemetery. Now, the reason that he can't is because the Bible is written in code. It's a law book. It's not a religious book. It's a law book. And it's written in code, and you have to learn how to code plead it. It's called code pleading. In Isaiah 28, verse 9 through 13, explains that code. Now listen to this. Whom shall he teach knowledge? This is Isaiah 28, 9. Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. This isn't for babies. Verse 10. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. Precept is a statute, so it's statute upon statute, line upon line. There's a little here and a little there. And in verse 11 he says, with stammering lips and another tongue will I speak to this people. So here's God comes along and he says, you know, I'm going to speak to you people with stammering lips and another tongue. I'm going to speak to you in German and stutter. Hey, that's not conducive to learning, is it? Verse 13, he said, but the word of the Eternal was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. It was written this way so that you would fall backward, be broken and snared and taken. The Bible isn't for everybody to understand. It's written in code. There's the code. Now over here in Matthew chapter 13, there's a unique story. I'm going to tell you the story. It's the story of the parable of the sower. It's in Matthew 13. I went to Sunday school twice when I was a kid. Two times. I remember both lessons. One of them was the parable of the sower, and the other one was Daniel in the lion's den. Just goes to show you that I've got some good, solid religious upbringing. Now, the difference is that most people went to Sunday school every day of their life and can't remember jack squat. I went twice and remember both of them. Let me tell you this one. Matthew 13, Jesus goes out and he gets in a boat and he's talking to a bunch of people on the shore, and he tells them this story about the parable of the sower. In verse 10, his disciples came up and said, hey boss, how come you're talking to these people in parables? Now Mrs. Ray, our Sunday school teacher, when I went to Sunday school in the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, the only group on planet Earth that's going to heaven, everybody else is going to hell. I got that right straight out of my Sunday school teacher and my preacher. So, just wanted you people out there to know in Bible land that unless you belong to the right corporation and the right church, it's curtains for you. Hey, isn't that what all these churches teach? If you don't belong to our group and our corporation, it's all over for you. You're going to hell. Well, he's talking to these people, and his disciples said, gosh, he's speaking to these people in parables. Mrs. Ray, the Sunday school teacher, said from our Sunday school lesson, the reason Jesus spoke in parables is because these poor ignorant people were dumb farmers, and they weren't like you lucky boys and girls and went to school so they could be educated and read and write. See, these people are dumb, and they're farmers. Hey, I'm a farmer, and I didn't know that farmers were all dumb. In fact, I thought us farmers were pretty smart guys. Furthermore, now who said these people never went to school? There's nothing here in the Bible that says whether they went to school or not. Furthermore, it never said anything in Matthew 13 about whether or not they were farmers. We don't know what their occupation was. They might have been engineers and preachers and camel jockeys and tradesmen. I mean, you know, they could have been a couple of plumbers, carpenters, or electricians in there. How do we know? Anyway, that's religion for you. You know, they just kind of assume facts, not in evidence. And in verse 11, Jesus answered. Now, what's the question? Are you paying attention now, boys and girls? Pay attention. Here's the question. Why are you speaking to these people in parables? And Jesus answered. He said, because it's given to you to know the mystery of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it isn't given. Just exactly what we saw in Isaiah 28, wasn't it? I'm going to speak to these people with stammering lips and another tongue so they don't understand what I'm telling them. Now, I know you got all these missionaries running around the world, especially in Africa, trying to teach these natives over here to sing, Yes, Jesus Loves Me, so that they can go to heaven and be with Jesus, but that isn't what Jesus told you. And, of course, your preacher and what he tells you is a hell of a lot more important than what Jesus tells you. I mean, your preacher. I mean, this guy's got the straight skinny. Jesus got his head in his rectal ridge and doesn't know what he's talking about. Now, does he? Or, anyway, just maybe he knew something that we didn't know. So, pay attention now, boys and girls. Verse 12, he said, "For whosoever has, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. And whosoever has not, from him shall be taken away even that which he has." Now, listen, that doesn't follow union policy, does it? And you know that if anybody actually practiced that today, we'd report him to the shop steward and file a grievance with the union, now, wouldn't we? "Therefore I speak unto them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, and neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah." Isaiah, remember? Isaiah 28, 9 through 13. "Which says, by hearing you shall hear, and you shall not understand, and seeing you shall see, and you shall not not perceive." That's cited in Isaiah 6, verses 9 through 13. "Because this people's heart is waxed gross, their ears are full of hearing, or dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and they should be converted, and I should heal them." All right, so there's the answer. Now, there's 133 things here that you need to know about the law. And then there's some things in here called doctrines. You ever heard of a doctrine? Doctrine? You know, crazy things. Let me give you a couple of ideas about doctrines here. You know, like amen. Where does this word amen come from? You know, everybody prays and they go, "Amen, brother." That comes from Amenhotep, the Egyptian sun god. So you pray to Jesus, and then you close your prayer in the name of Amenhotep, the Egyptian sun god. Why do you do that? And then there's things in here, you know, like Christmas. Christmas. Jesus, if you look in the encyclopedia, wasn't born on December 25th. How come you're practicing Christmas? And then there's crazy things, you know, like death, the Davidic covenant, marriage and divorce, medical doctors, Passover, days of unleavened bread. I mean, nobody in his right mind would practice Passover and days of unleavened bread when we've got Easter, Christmas, New Year's, 4th of July. You ever wonder why people practice those pagan holidays? Well, we cover those kinds of things here right out of the Scripture, 90 common doctrines. But I wanted to bring your attention to something here that God doesn't change. And it's called the doctrine of stare decisis. Stare decisis. Now, that's a Latin term. What that means is it's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's what Jesus told us, remember, up here in Matthew 5:17. He said, "Think not that I've come to destroy the law." Well, the doctrine of stare decisis, or the basis for this doctrine, that the law doesn't change, that the law is the same yesterday, today, and forever, comes from the Bible. Yeah, that's right. God doesn't change. He says, "I change not. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Scripture cannot be broken, which God that cannot lie." God says that He doesn't lie. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and the Scripture cannot be broken. He says, "I change not, and man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Now, that's a wild concept for Christians, isn't it? I mean, think about it. Have you ever heard of a Christian say that we should live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God? Did Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, Psalms, Proverbs, Esther, Nehemiah, Daniel, did any of those books, any of those words proceed out of the mouth of God? Hey, I'm not citing from the Old Testament, boys and girls. I'm citing this right out of Matthew 4:4 and Luke 4:4. Hebrews 13:8 says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's the basis of stare decisis. All right, now the opposite to that is res judicata. Now, the First and Fourth Amendments to our Constitution are always decided by res judicata. That is, on a case-by-case basis. But Miranda versus Arizona and Yoder versus Wisconsin are decided by stare decisis. So, what is the rule of law in the Bible anyway? Is it res judicata or is it stare decisis? Does anybody know? Has anybody ever thought about it? So I just thought I'd point this out. Here in Malachi 3, verse 6, he says, "For I am the Eternal, I change not, therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed." Well, if God doesn't change, and he gave you a law that said, "Thou shalt not commit adultery," well then, if stare decisis is the rule of law, then "thou shalt not commit adultery" is still the law today. Hasn't been repealed. Now, we Americans, we change our law every time we change our political parties. For instance, there was a time in America when we used to drink. And then we passed the 18th Amendment and we stopped drinking. And then we repealed the 18th Amendment and started drinking again. Those were the prohibition years, remember, in the 1920s? And we presume that the Bible works the same way. If there's a law in here that we don't like, why, we just don't practice that, and then we just tell everybody that law is done away with. But that's not what Jesus said. So he said, "Think not that I've come to destroy the law or the prophets, and I'll call you least in the kingdom of heaven if you teach anybody to violate one of these least commandments." I wonder what he would do to somebody that taught somebody to practice adultery, witchcraft, or Sabbath breaking. In Matthew 4:4 and Luke 4:4, but he answered and said, "It's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." That's cited from Deuteronomy 8, verse 3, where it says, "And he humbled you and suffered you to hunger, and he fed you with manna, which you knew not, neither did your fathers know, that he might make you to know that man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God does man live." Then there's Matthew 5:17 through 20, John 10, verse 35, "The scripture cannot be broken." And Titus 1, verse 2, "Which God that cannot lie." Hebrews 13:8, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." No prophecy of the scriptures of any private interpretation. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and all these things happen to them for example, so that they can learn from them. All of those statements that I just read to you come from the New Testament. That's the doctrine of stare decisis. Now, Jesus told you he didn't come to destroy the law, and he told you I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's the basis of Miranda versus Arizona. Now, every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God is in full force and effect today, including the ceremonial laws. Now, before you hit the panic switch, I'm not practicing any sacrifices because all the sacrifices were always done by Levites and Aaronic priests. I'm not a Levite or an Aaronic priest, are you? Same thing with the Uniform Code of Military Justice. You know, I'm not a soldier in the Army, so I don't practice the Uniform Code of Military Justice, but I'm not telling anybody that the UCMJ has been abolished, nailed to the cross, and taken out of the way, and has been repealed. The Commerce Clause and all of the commerce statutes in our country today are in full force and effect. I just don't practice commerce, so those laws don't affect me. But if I opened a bank account, they sure would. And if you've got a bank account, they sure do. All right, well, there's the story on the Mosaic Law and the Mosaic Doctrines. Now, this class is divided into two groups. So I do the Mosaic Law, those 759 statutes in the spring, and then in the fall of the year I do the 90 common doctrines. And if you'd like to get these on CD, you can do that. They're on CD, and you can just call the law school. It's 417-273-4967 for more information, or you can go to our webpage, georgegordon.net. That's georgegordon.net. You just call. We're not gonna sell your mailing list to somebody. We're not gonna bite your head off. We won't try to sell you too much. Just call up and ask for information. Be happy to give it to you. All right, there's our eight schools, and it's been good talking to you, and we'll talk to you on the telephone as soon as you call. So until then, goodbye, friends.